Welcome to Responsa Radio, where you ask and we answer questions of Jewish law in modern times. We are recording live at Limud, New York. So we get a lot of different types of questions on this show. We get a lot of questions about Shabbat. And then every now and then we get a question that really feels like it has a human element that's different and makes it both more delicate, and it helps us see, I think, where halakha really is about the way we live our lives and not just the way we live our Jewish lives. And this next question, I think, falls into that category.
Okay.
They ask, is there any rabbinic consensus on preference of religion of the egg donor for a Jewish couple using IVF, which is in vitro fertilization, to conceive a child? This scenario, this particular scenario that they're writing about, is of a Jewish couple who will be using the genetic material of the Jewish man in the couple and a third-party egg donor. The pregnancy will be carried by a Jewish woman in the couple through IVF. She adds, this is a very current issue, as so many Jewish women facing infertility are opting for egg donation, as it has become a more accepted option in fertility treatments.
It's a big question. Heavy. Let's start with a direct point, I think, that's raised here, and then maybe try to go back to maybe a question behind the question. So the question, talking about the a preference for the religion of the egg donor of a Jewish couple, what the person's alluding to here is the notion that when you get involved in mixing and matching Jewish genetic material out of its original context, for lack of a better way of describing that, the concern is you will essentially potentially create people raised in different places and different environments who have some of the same paternal genetic material and thereby might end up being or might be in some meaningful sense related to one another and then might end up marrying one another without realizing they have this shared genetic material and then potentially producing concerns of mamzerut, of certain kinds of illegitimacy with respect to the children, as if they were born in an incestuous relationship, even though these people, in terms of their social upbringing, don't think of themselves as relatives. So that has led in a number of contexts, particularly, for instance, in the context of sperm donation, to a preference of many poskim to have the sperm donor be a non-Jewish male, where there is no paternity involved on the male side from a Jewish perspective, no concern of mamzerut, and therefore no other person somewhere else who will also have that donor's sperm as their, you know, Y chromosome, as it were, or, you know, that part of their genetic makeup, and then you will never have two people who are siblings unwittingly married. So that, I think,
even without mamzerut concerns, there seems like there could be some scientific logic behind that.
Yeah, and there might be wisdom to the mixing the gene pool in that kind of way more broadly, which maybe we'll come back to. So, but I would suggest to you that's actually a derivative question of what one really has to ask here, which is, what makes you who you are and what makes a baby Jewish? What makes a baby the child of its mother? What makes you a person's mother or a person's father? That's what this case is really testing, and what IVF of the egg donor sort really actually pushes us on. You know, we have this obviously beautiful and powerful rabbinic tradition. Every person's made up of three forces: father, mother, and then God. And God in that equation is somehow standing in for some whole set of things that we kind of sense are not totally controlled by the genetic material alone. And this pushes us to take that to a 21st century frame.
Yeah, that's the miracle. That's our language for the miracle.
That's right, the miracle. Yeah. And, okay, so I think, now, jumping into this question. So I want to say, actually, I think really virtually comprehensive work, even though it's not completely conclusive work, was done on this by Rabbi J. David Bleich in an article, one of his surveys of periodical, halachic periodical literature that comes out in the journal Tradition.
Well, I'm sure everyone's read it, so
yes,
why bother?
In certain contexts, it's a hot seller, but not in most. This is actually an article he wrote back in 1991, I believe, if I have the date correct. So way back, and obviously a lot has changed in the science of fertility, but I think really laid out all of the issues. Briefly, because it's a deep question. He essentially points out there's a couple different ways we can think about this. We can think about this through the lens of genetics. We could think about this through the lens of gestation, what it is to carry a baby. And we could think of this through the lens of birth, actually what it means for a child to come out of a mother's womb. And you might think of any of those as potentially defining who this child is. What he starts with is actually a view that rejects all of these. And it's a very surprising and shocking view of the Tzitz Eliezer, one of the great poskim in Israel who passed away in 2006, who was renowned for his expertise on medical issues. And the Tzitz Eliezer, it's really interesting, the head of the hospital, Shaarei Tzedek, writes him a question and says, yeah, you know, we're starting to do this in vitro fertilization and we can start to do this egg donor stuff. And I don't think there's any, like, halachic problems with it. Just wanted to check. And the Tzitz Eliezer writes back and is like, actually, I think there's some really serious halachic problems with it. And by the time he's done with his tshuva, he says, a person born of an egg donor implanted into a mother has no parents. Okay? Mm. It's a shocking formulation.
You would think extra parents.
We'll get to that view in a minute. He says they have no parents. Why? Well, on the one hand, they can't possibly be the child of the mother who gestated this because that's not where the material comes from. She is essentially just incubating sperm and egg from two completely different people who are not a part of her body. And on the other hand, how could you possibly say that someone just drops an egg and then we trace back to their genetics and they're the mother when they had nothing to do with actually gestating or birthing them? And therefore, he says, this person has no parentage, and therefore, because that's an insane and horrible thing to do, it's completely forbidden to do this. Now, that becomes, interestingly enough, a complete outlier position that the Tzitz Eliezer, despite his great stature, just completely loses the day on that. And everyone else tends to weigh in on a number of different angles there. And more or less, two angles seem to dominate this. One is to say, birth is what makes you someone's mother. And therefore, yeah, there's some material that comes in from outside, but fundamentally, once it is fertilized and placed inside the Jewish mother, that child basically becomes Jewish, certainly by dint of birth.
So in that reading, the religion of the egg donor is entirely irrelevant?
It is entirely irrelevant, and it is compared in this frame to the case of a non-Jewish woman who is pregnant, who then converts while she is pregnant. And says Rabbi Bleich, that from a halachic perspective could and should be considered as exactly the same as a Jewish woman, which is parallel to this woman who's now converted, essentially having a foreign egg implanted in her body. Why? Because the principle of converting is that your formal ties to your former relatives are severed. You actually begin your life anew as a newborn baby, and therefore, that egg inside of you can't possibly be related to you. And yet, the Talmud says that upon birth, if it turns out that she's carrying twins, those two children are understood to be brothers for all purposes of halacha, which doesn't make sense if by conversion all the relations were severed and never put back together, but does make sense if you understand that birth creates a filial bond between mother and child, and therefore turns those two embryos into brothers. But it's that moment of delivery which makes you someone's child. Now, if you follow that approach, then that child doesn't need to be converted, because their conversion, as it were, is their birth.
It's I think it's a powerful image. This is a different topic, probably, of adoption, but of a concept that someone could be not related and then related.
Yeah, that's right. And what processes enable that to happen.
Right.
So that's one way of tackling the question. That seems to be Rabbi Bleich's preferred approach, but he has some serious reservations, which now come with the other questions. You raised this earlier. What about the reverse angle of the Tzitz Eliezer? What about saying, no, kid doesn't have no parents. Kid has three parents.
Yeah.
Okay? Kid actually has a father who has donated the sperm, in this case, to the IVF operation, and you have IVF operation. It sounds like some kind of, like, you know, Israeli military. The father has done that. The woman who gestates and gives birth to the baby is certainly the mother, let's say, in keeping with the last paradigm. But that doesn't mean that the egg donor is not also the mother, because after all, it's her genetic material. Right? And perhaps you might actually say that part of what makes someone something is both how they were gestated, birthed, etc., but also, I think to us with language of genetics, this is very powerful, what's in their DNA and where do they come from? Obviously, a more extreme version of that would just say it's all in the genetics, and the fact that you have a non-Jewish egg donor means that that woman either, while she's pregnant or the child after it's born, would have to go through some kind of conversion process. You would do that, right, even in the case of the two mothers. Presumably, you would do that. You would think you would need to do that in order to potentially resolve being half-Jewish, half-not.
Oh. If the egg donor is not also Jewish.
That's correct.
Unless all three are Jewish.
That's correct. If the egg donor is Jewish, right, in that case, then no one's going to dispute that the baby is Jewish. But the question of whether maybe for purposes of inheritance and all right. sorts of other things, there's actually two parents there, not so simple to say that that's not the case. Now, I think it's interesting. Like, one thing I was thinking about this as a parent and as a man is I wonder also if some of the way that we may reflect on this is very much driven by our experience as parents or as, you know, kind of thinking about how our familial relationships are formed. So I, as a man, did not and cannot gestate and birth my children. And in that sense, the genetic frame speaks very powerfully to me. Because if the man's sperm does not in some way make him the father, then there's no sense in which he's the father. And so from that perspective, there's something that makes me reach for feeling like, no, that egg donor, like there's something there that is clearly a parental connection. Whereas I could imagine someone for whom, right, a woman who has born children, the entire experience of you were my child is you were in my womb, you came out, I then nursed you, et cetera, almost dwarfs the fact that, yeah, I guess your face kind of looks like mine and you have this kind of trait and that kind of trait. Or at least it would be kind of more complex and different than it might be from that perspective. I'll say just one more thing, which is, so I think then where this also brings us is, so let's say practically, I think Rabbi Bleich, and this speaks to me too, there's something about potentially honoring the significance of that genetic connection of the egg donor, which does feel like it would recommend some kind of intentional mikvah with involvement of some kind of Beit Din procedure that kind of confirms and essentially says, I've taken part of this life or part of the ingredient from this life from a space outside the covenantal space of the Jewish people. And part of my acceptance of this is I'm really committing to this being 100% my child to say that, yeah, that kind of, I don't know if I want to call it quite conversion process, but some sort of unambiguous affirmation of this child's exclusive Jewish identity feels like it does make sense to me in this context. And in that sense, I would sort of answer the original question of, it's not so much of the preference of the religion of the egg donor as much as recognizing that when we get involved in this, we have to ask ourselves fundamental questions of who makes us who we are, and we may need to respond ritually accordingly. And here's where I just want to bring it back to the Tzitz Eliezer. Because as much as he's an outlier, Rabbi Bleich hauntingly asks us at the end of the article that he writes, well, what about when they develop the ability to gestate human embryos in animals? And I would extend this, for those who are fans of the Matrix series of movies, what about when we develop a way for people to be gestated in iron wombs? Right? We already do that in the premature wards of hospitals, right? But what about when we get to the point where we can actually do that from conception? And there's women who say, yeah, I want to have a baby with my genetic material, but I don't need that, all that garbage of pregnancy and childbirth. At what point, Tzitz Eliezer, I think, reminds us of a warning, at what point have we gone so far away from anything we recognize as parentage? Maybe we have to ask ourselves before we take the next step into that brave new world.
It's interesting, your last comment, I think, speaks almost to the opposite swing of what I was thinking of as a follow-up that I'm curious about, which is there any of these opinions that take into account who raises the child, that matters at all? You know, people, you would call it like the fourth trimester, like who are the people who receive this child into the world and actually care for them? Or is that
not ever considered?
Yeah, so very backhandedly, actually in some of the discussions around patrilineal and matrilineal descent, there are positions of the Maharshal of 16th century Poland. Rabbeinu Yom Tov Al-Ghazi, I believe, also has a view of this sort, which say something in a totally different context. They say, those two authorities in particular say, you know, if a Jewish woman is impregnated by a Gentile man who is then completely absent and not involved in the person's life, well, then the child is Jewish because it follows the status of the mother. But if the father was there and married and involved in some way, then for sure that child has to go through some kind of conversion. Now, that's a really powerful and complex question with all kinds of applications today, and not everyone agreed with them. But it's an example, I think, of what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sometimes I feel like a moth.